Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night, Fancy Sauce Show listeners, and welcome to episode 7 of season 3. I am Oliver Coles, and I'm with Jordan Poulton.
Well, hello.
And John Beebe.
Hello.
We wanted to kick off this evening talking about some very sad news about Maggie Thatch.
Yeah, old Maggie clocked it.
Yeah.
She kicked the bucket.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that, Beebs?
I'm kind of impartial, to be honest.
Impartial?
Well, I think she was a psycho feminist.
Go on.
Well, she's just, you know... Well, actually, I don't think she was. I think the people that idolise her...
Why was she a psycho-feminist?
No, I think that she's created psycho-feminism.
In what way?
Well, in the fact that she was the first female Prime Minister.
Uh-huh.
And now everyone thinks that that's exactly how...
And now everyone thinks that women have the right to be in politics.
No, not like that. But now, like, people have used kind of how she became kind of less feminine...
Right.
To do it, as in, because, like, she was apparently fucking brutal when she was in power.
Yeah.
I don't remember her being in power. When was she in power?
In the 80s, I think.
79 yeah. to 90.
So, like, 83, maybe?
So, yeah, we'd have been, what, 5 or something?
We would have been young.
Yeah.
So I don't really remember her being in power.
But what I don't understand about this is we're all asking, like, what's your thought on this? Surely any death is a sad death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's
exactly.
A sad occasion.
Exactly. So, I mean, unless you're a complete dick, like, you've had, as in, like...
I'm trying to light a cigarette and this bloody lighter is not working.
You keep blowing the flame.
Sorry, carry on.
Any death is a sad death, worrying about lighters.
Jordan's slowly killing himself.
Yeah.
But no, I agree with you that, like, from a humanist perspective, it's a sad thing if anyone dies. I think it's a bit scary how quickly people kind of get on their high horses.
Yeah, and I think also the thing is that, like, I also understand, like she wrecked things like the arts industry. She did, not a lot of damage, but, like, she did some fairly kind of extremist moves. Not extremist, that's the wrong word. But, like, she did some, like, hard moves where she basically shut down all the mines and broke up the unions and all that sort of stuff. And
is that such a bad thing?
Well, it ruined some people's lives. Now, then you look at it, kind of the greater good and the political viewpoint. And we look at it where we are at the moment, where they're shutting down unions and they're changing the way that, you know, public sector things work.
But wasn't the world slightly different back then in that, like, it was a much more... Like, there was a lot more, what's the word? Like, the country owned a lot more industries.
Yeah.
Like, the trains and the mines, and they were all government-owned and government-run.
Yeah.
And, like, they were kind of keeping the country from growing because they weren't being run very efficiently, and the unions were demanding...
Yeah, but you say that, then look at National Rail, and, you know, they started to develop and all kind of got privatised, and it's the shittest system in the world.
Yeah.
I'm not joking. Like... I take three trains to... I might have spoken about this on the podcast before. I take three trains to work, and I'm very, very lucky if I get a straight run of them all being on time.
Okay.
You know, and it's like...
But that's not Maggie's fault, is it?
No, it's not Maggie's fault. I'm just saying that since privatisation, that it's not got that much better.
Yeah,
like,
enough.
As in, I remember, like, GNER was losing something ridiculous, like £100,000 a year.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, before it then got reprivatized into different sections as well. And you just kind of think it's just not a great system that's, you know, ever been built up.
Yeah, and I mean, there's definitely a sense that the kind of economic system that she put in place and that Reagan put in place is, like, the only capitalist way of being nowadays, and it's very, like, individualist and very aggressive and very, like, everyone thinks they have the right to be rich and successful, and I think that's a bit sad, really. Like, I think they kind of changed the way that people think a bit and, like, brought in a lot of consumerism and...
Well, I think, you know, people wanting to be, like, the capitalist side of stuff, I think it's fine. Like, I think that you should be able to, you know, have that goal of, you know, make a lot of money and things like that, but it shouldn't be at the expense of anyone else.
Yeah, but isn't that the whole point about making money? Isn't it a zero-sum game that, like, if you're making money, then someone else has to spend that money?
Yeah, exactly.
But that's why I don't get it. I don't get what's your problem.
No. I mean, I
don't have a clue what's going on.
I've completely lost track of what is actually...
I haven't said anything for 5 minutes.
What are your thoughts on old Madam Thatcher?
Well, I just hope that as the Iron Lady that she rusts in peace.
Jesus, Colsey. You've been waiting all day to make these jokes, haven't you?
That's the only thing I know about it. No, I think it's a sad occasion. I think any death is a sad occasion.
Yeah.
And she was clearly quite an impressive lady to be the first female Prime Minister.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to give her respect, haven't you?
Yeah, exactly.
I have friends of mine who come from, like, mining parts of the country who hate her with a fiery passion.
Yeah, yeah.
To a scary degree. Like, I had a friend of mine, and when it was announced that she had dementia, my friend was, like, nearly crying with happiness. She was like, I hope she rots in hell, like...
That's the thing, it's crazy, because presumably afterwards, I mean, she's completely harmless... After,
if you come from a family, if like one of your parents was lost their job in the mines and you had to struggle throughout your childhood because they couldn't afford to buy school clothes for you because they couldn't get a job because all they could do was mine,
and the mines whole towns and you know, kind of communities were torn apart because of it.
Yeah,
and yeah, that's the thing. She was looking at it as they brought everything back from these smaller towns to the bigger cities.
Yeah,
but of course, as soon as you pull a mining town apart. There's no work, so that you've built up all of these things. And
I mean, my biggest upset is that she basically made it possible for anyone to buy their council house. I wish they'd done that 20 years later, and I could have got a council house and bought that.
Yeah,
because back then you could get a house for about the same price as nowadays you pay for a car.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's pretty nuts. I mean, generally, I'm really not that bothered about it. You know, I'm not overly happy.
The honest truth is that we actually know barely anything about her as a person.
Yeah.
And, like, if someone told us to name her three biggest policy changes, then we'd struggle to even name one.
Yeah.
And so I think that maybe we're not very well positioned to really say much about her.
Yeah.
Right. I think, like, we're probably better positioned to talk about the outcry of people and the extent to which... people who have no idea about her are trying to make a point on Facebook,
yeah,
trying to make a point on Twitter, and everyone's got an opinion about her.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, hold on a second. Unless you were born in, like, the 70s, then you probably don't even remember what it was like or know anything that she did.
I think most people that comment on Facebook are commenting, they're taking someone else's views.
Exactly.
Yeah,
which they've
read
in an article, they've gone, oh, God, thank God Maggie's gone.
Exactly. Or they heard something over the dinner table one Sunday from their dad getting on his high horse, and now they just spout the same things over and over again.
Exactly. And I think that's the thing, is that I saw a post from a friend of mine that's, you know, quite in-depth in the kind of theatre and the arts industry, which Maggie Thatcher was renowned for kind of tearing apart and... basically because she didn't see it as a good thing to be funded at a time of, like, in a crisis.
Right.
And she said, I didn't agree with any of the views, but I find it actually quite disturbing how aggressively negative people are being when someone's died.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just really interesting seeing people's views, and, like, and it was just a more kind of, like, grounded kind of middle ground of being like, I didn't agree with her, but it's sad she's died, which is what I think everyone should be like.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think you should ever be... overly happy that someone... I mean, unless they are horrific.
Like she was a dictator that was still in power.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Like, it's a long time since she went out of office.
Yeah.
And so now she's just an old lady.
No, she's an old lady who's passed away and everyone's getting angry with her now.
Yeah, exactly.
Why didn't you do that 20 years ago when it was a problem?
Yeah, let the poor girl rust in peace. Okay, as you may recall, this season we're bringing you shit technology instead of good technology because we think there's maybe a little bit more banter in the shit technology. And you're going to kick us off today, aren't you, Oliver?
I am indeed, Jordan. But mine's not that shit. Again,
okay.
I keep coming with not that shit ideas.
Okay.
But this is something I read today from South by Southwest Festival in Texas. What they did last year is they took homeless people off the streets in Texas and they strapped them up with 4G Wi-Fi. So they were walking Wi-Fi access. So people could go up and they could get a code from them. They had a little banner above them or a little t-shirt saying, I am Wi-Fi. And people could pay them $2 for access to the internet.
I think is quite
good. I mean, I don't know whether you could use it on the streets of London.
Well, I don't know because, like, but it also depends on, were they just like, you're going to do this Wi-Fi thing, it was sponsored by someone else, so they got to keep all the money, or is it like, you're going to charge $2 and then you're going to give
us... It might have been, I'm not too sure, but I guess it was probably a bit more like a big issue where you get to keep 50% of it or something, and then you give the rest. Or it might have been a promotional campaign for O2 or someone to say, look...
Free
Wi-Fi.
But I do that. I just wear, you know, a t-shirt or something saying I am.
You
Wi-Fi
would pretend to be homeless.
No. But I'm saying, like, if someone came out with it and was like, we're looking for people to do it, I'd be like, like, if I was travelling around London a lot,
yeah,
and people are. Like, oh. But then the thing is that I suppose with homeless people they stay in one place. They're not like
missioning
it around.
No, but this wasn't, because this was at a festival. This was actually bringing them into the festival to wander around.
Okay.
Offer Wi-Fi.
Well, that'll make it a bit smelly.
Well, they probably offered them a shower beforehand as well.
Okay.
But you could do it in London, like in the summer. You could have people walking around Green Park or Hyde Park,
yeah.
and just saying, "Guys, do you want 5 minutes of Wi-Fi for £2?"
Yeah,
and sit with them for a bit while they check their internet and Facebook. Yeah.
now bugger off.
I think it's quite a nice idea.
Yeah. I was actually thinking, because I was down at St. George's Wharf in Vauxhall having a pint yesterday, and this homeless guy came up to me, and he was really believable. I actually thought he was serious. He was asking for a few quid. He said he'd split up with his girlfriend, he hasn't seen her in 3 days, didn't know where she was, had been looking for her everywhere, and he just wanted a couple quid to stay in a hostel, as they all do.
Yeah.
And I believed him, and he started crying. He really? Actually started crying in front of me. I said, "Look, mate, I've only got a quid and a cigarette, but go on, off you pop." And then he came back about 10 minutes later, walked straight past me, didn't recognise me, asked the same question again. I was like, right, I don't fucking believe it. but I was thinking, you know, there must be some ways that you could actually help these people go and do something. I wondered whether you could do something like hire out a warehouse space, mm-hmm. and you could go to them and say, look, you can have a 5 minute slot on stage to entertain people, mm-hmm. because they all entertain, they've all got ways of getting money, some of them do magic, mm-hmm. and if people think it's interesting, they can leave you a few quid.
Yeah.
And I might be tempted to go along and see what these reprobates are doing.
I think it all depends on kind of the quality of it though. Like if you had like 10 people in a row just telling their sob story, it could get quite depressing.
No, you'd have to say, look, we don't want a sob story, we want comedy, or we want magic.
So basically what you're wanting is to bring jesters.
Dance monkey.
Yeah, just bring the jesters back in.
Yeah.
And the freaks in the circus. See, I mean, that at least, you know, your bit of technology is a little bit, like, useful. Like, it's useful to both parties. Like, someone benefits from it. See, my bit of technology, I don't really understand. I can understand a need for it, but it's basically, like, it's for women, and it's like a panty liner, right? But it's, like, thick rubber, right? And it's basically to stop getting camel toe.
Okay. Brilliant. Is this a big problem?
Well,
I've seen it as a big problem in the summer.
People are wearing like leggings and stuff like that, it can be, or like, you know, people that are running or whatever.
Right. Yeah, it's people running in Santa Monica. There's camel hoofs everywhere.
But I think the main thing is like, I don't think these people know that it's happening to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think it's something that you know.
Is it not like a guy having a wedgie? I mean, you know when you've got a wedgie. In fact, true. I'll tell you, someone who could actually start, really launch this and get it out there is Nadal could start wearing this. Because he's permanently got a wedgie, hasn't he? He could start wearing the camel toe pad.
Just really thick pants.
And yeah, also, maybe. I mean, does this thing go inside? Because surely it would get a bit sweaty.
Well, yeah, I could almost guarantee it would get sweaty.
Yeah, that's not very nice.
They could just wear the sanitary pads.
That's what I mean. It looks exactly like that. But
okay.
I saw this as a post on Facebook, and it was like, this person was like, surely people don't really know what's like that it's happening to them, so why would they ever really invest? And they're like, it's like, I don't know, I just sort of thought, yeah, it's kind
was
of.
Was it an April Fool's joke?
This was like 2 days ago or something.
Also, isn't it by definition the kind of thing you get unexpectedly?
Yeah, exactly. So no,
I think you'd feel if there's some latex going up your V.
Yeah, but the thing is like with a wedgie, you just pick it out, carry on with your day, right? It's not like you go, okay, today I think I'm going to get a wedgie.
But then at the same time, I'm sure there are people with unusually large labia who, for whom it happens quite often. And maybe they think it wouldn't be a bad stocking filler at Christmas.
Imagine that.
Could you imagine getting it as a present?
Like, from your mum.
We thought we'd give you this.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what are you trying to say?
Oh, that. Right, okay. Yeah.
That's foul.
What about you, Jordan? Anything special?
Yeah, so mine is equally puerile this week. So it is a bra that holds up to 25 ounces of liquid inside it.
Oh, so like an Alco bra.
So basically an Alco bra, yeah. And so if you're going to things like sports games or if you're going to the cinema and you want to sneak in a bit of alcohol, then you can cover your ample A cups and turn them into ample D cups by filling them with beer or
liquid. Amazing, as you give the alcohol out to other people and your boobs get smaller, it doesn't matter because they're getting drunker, so they still see the same thing.
They wouldn't even notice.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah, not bad, eh?
Yeah, so instead of going from A to Z, you go from Z to A or D to A.
Yeah, exactly. Nice. Although I think it might be a bit weird if we were wearing one.
Imagine, yeah.
No, but I did see one that was similar to that, which was a beer gut.
No way.
There's a beer gut with that you've had a straw out of.
Maybe you should have one for male's pants, and you can put it so it makes it look like you've got a ginormous cock, but by the time you leave the cinema, you've got a tiny wiener. And you're pissed.
I just like the idea that, like, one of these bras, rather than having a straw, the nipples would be something you can suck on.
That would be quite good.
That would be awesome.
That would be amazing.
Just seeing someone looking like they're sucking on some woman's breast in the cinema. That's and actually, they're just getting smashed.
I think that, I think that people would use that. But you're not allowed, like, sports games mainly are the things you can't really
take. Who's going to use it, man? There will be people that use it.
How many times have you snuck booze? Not, I'm not talking about blokes, but how many times have you snuck alcohol into places that you shouldn't?
Yeah, quite a few times.
Exactly. So, like, I think if there's a way that, because you can't get caught.
You've got to check it. Yeah.
They can't be like, oh, you've got very liquid boobs.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're my boobs.
And now for everyone's favourite part of the show, question time.
Question time.
Okay, same as last week, we're going to be playing Call My Bluff this week. I wasn't sure which way round we did it last week, but I'm going to be telling you three statements, and you have to tell me which one is false, not which one is true.
Okay.
Okay, so the three statements are... The daddy long legs is the most poisonous creature in the world, but its bite is too weak for it to hurt you. There are at least 82 nukes lost in the world, and 1 in 8 Americans have flipped burgers at McDonald's.
Who the fuck loses a nuke? Like, really, I mean, like, losing one nuke's pretty fucking bad. Like, you can imagine going in and being like, going to the president, so... You know, we've built that massive warhead.
It's on war piece.
You know, like, if you lose your phone, people get annoyed with you. Could you imagine losing a nuke? You've lost one, and then by the time you've lost 10, people will be like, right, you're not in charge of nukes anymore.
Yeah, you're not taking him on the tube.
Don't trust Steve with nukes anymore. He's a fucking liability.
And 82 as well. That's 80, a lot of nukes.
82 is quite a big amount.
Yeah.
I've heard the thing about the daddy long legs a million times. I think everyone has.
The interesting thing about that is I've heard that it's their sting, not their bite. So
no, I've heard it's their bite. It was on Ricky Gervais's Animals. But
okay, so that's...
My thing is that there must be quite a lot of kids that eat ingest daddy long legs as kids. Like, what's this? Ooh.
But maybe unless it goes into your bloodstream, it's not bad for you. Because there are certain things that if you swallow it, it's fine. But if you get it into your blood, it's really bad.
Yeah.
So maybe it's done on percentage as well, like, as in, because the body mass of a daddy long legs, they're not big creatures, so maybe there isn't even enough to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe if you ate one, you'd get sick. So I could believe that's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't believe that 1 in 8 Americans have flicked burgers.
Yeah, was it at McDonald's?
At McDonald's.
At McDonald's.
I don't know, there's a lot of McDonald's.
There are a lot of McDonald's, but 1 in 8.
Think about
what's the population of America?
About 250 million. 260 million. That's what? 20 million?
20
no,
million.
30 million.
I don't believe that.
35 million.
Well, think about how many people work in one McDonald's thing.
What, like,
and then
10?
think about how quickly, like, the revolving door is of people going in.
I love it. This is like an interview question now.
Yeah, but that's people going in. Yeah, there's constantly people. Oh, you mean people going in for jobs?
People going in for jobs. Like,
quick turnaround.
Think about it. Like, someone might go in one day and just be like, no, like, flip one burger and then be like, no, I'm done.
No, I don't. I'm just trying to add.
I can't believe. I'm sorry. Like, that is more believable than losing 82 nukes. Although, actually, wait a minute. We're just thinking about America here. Like, I can believe that, like, probably the British have lost a couple.
Yeah.
And, like...
Also, how do you lose a nuke?
No, I don't.
How? Like, physically?
I cannot remember where I put it.
Yeah, it's not the kind of thing that you're carrying in your pocket.
Yeah.
Or, like, the kind of thing that you take to a club and it accidentally falls out when you're dancing. Like, and no one's getting pickpocketed when they've got a nuke in their pocket.
And it's not, yeah.
Is that a nuke in your pocket, or are you just pleased to see it?
Like, the only thing I can think of is that... There's lots of nuclear submarines, and someone accidentally leaves the hatch open, and it falls out when they're under the sea.
Yeah.
Well, How else can you possibly lose a nuclear warhead?
Yeah, I think that...
I don't know.
I don't know, your argument's quite strong on that, and you're the one that knows the answer. So I'm a little bit dubious now.
I reckon 1 in 8 Americans have not flipped burgers.
Yeah, I think it's probably like 1 in 7.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with that.
And remind me why you've taken the daddy long legs thing to be believed, because Ricky Gervais told you.
No, yeah, I've heard it a lot. It's just he spoke about it in quite a lot of depth.
Okay. because that's nonsense.
Is it?
Absolute nonsense. It was made up to show in like the 90s how powerful the internet can be when things go viral. Someone made it up and sent it around in like a chain email, and it got passed around the world, and now everyone thinks it's a fact.
Is that right?
Well, actually, it's complete nonsense.
So 82 warheads have been lost.
At least 82 that they know of.
And 1 in 8 Americans have flipped burgers.
And 1 in 8 Americans.
I cannot believe that. That's unbelievable.
Flips burgers and McDonald's at some point. So, like, I guess that it, maybe there's a certain portion of society where a large chunk of the, you know, 16 to 19, 20
yeah,
year old kids go and do it as part of a rite of passage.
Or, like, like a summer job. A like, as in, I can't find a summer job, go work at McDonald's.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're always hiring.
Yeah.
They're always hiring.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it?
Madness.
All right, next question. The most common procedure carried out in World War II by US doctors was circumcision. 10% of Russian government income comes from vodka.
I believe that.
I can believe that.
And Tyrannosaurus Rex didn't actually live in the Jurassic period.
I think... I don't know what the Jurassic period is. I mean, I presume...
So it's in Jurassic Park, that's
yeah,
why...
Yeah, so as in... But as in, is it... Was it... Were there a lot of dinosaurs out of the Jurassic period?
Were there what?
Like...
Were there a lot of dinosaurs...
No, were dinosaurs outside of the Jurassic period as well?
Yeah, there's like the Cretaceous period. There's like three or four periods, I think,
okay,
where there were dinosaurs, but they're different stages of evolution.
Yeah.
What was the first one again? Can you remind me?
The first one was... I can't remember. the most common procedure carried out in World War II by US doctors was circumcision.
I can kind of believe that.
Yeah?
Which, high population of...
Dick rot.
No, but high population of Jewish... the Jewish population in America, uh-huh, and also back then they believed that, or I think it still is true, that it's a hygiene thing, so it could have just been like a mandatory thing that a lot of people did. And in America there's a lot of circumcised.
Well, so you think that all of the army had to be circumcised?
Yeah, I just think that it would have
quite
been,
possibly for hygiene reasons.
Yeah, I think for hygiene reasons.
Okay, that makes it slightly more believable.
I think,
okay.
But then vodka as well, I think that's,
I believe the vodka
and I believe the I don't know about the Jurassic period because it's one of those things that you
don't know about.
So what do you reckon?
I'm going to go Jurassic period is false.
I'm going to go with vodka.
Okay, Beebs, you're right. I made that up.
Yeah, well, I think, I don't know why, like, I think it would have, it's just a...
It's quite a lot. 10% of your government income. Think how big Russia is. It would have to be billions and billions
of
pounds.
Yeah, and they've got a massive...
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Unless they're, like, I don't know, making some huge markup from it, and they've got massive factories in Siberia that churn out vodka.
Yeah, and don't pay anyone anything.
It would seem a bit silly, right?
Yeah.
Okay, final question.
Yeah.
You cannot survive for an extended period of time with less than 8 glasses of water a day. Human memory is equivalent to around 1 terabyte of memory. Human blood travels 60,000 miles a day.
Can you confirm that a terabyte is above a gigabyte?
A terabyte is 1 million megabytes. So a gigabyte
megabytes.
Is 1,000, a terabyte is 1 million. So it's 1,000 gigabytes.
Okay.
I think that's true. If you think about, like, image, like, the storage of, like, image memory and stuff like that,
uh-huh,
I think it could be the equivalent of it.
Do you think so?
And, like, think about, like, memory of music, memory of pictures, memory of, like, plus all of your...
I reckon my phone knows more than me.
That's because you have Google on your phone.
That's true.
I think it's the first one.
Which was?
You can't survive an extended period of time with less than 8 glasses of water a day.
I think that's bollocks.
What do you reckon, Ollie?
What? Because
well,
you think that you
is
can
it the
survive
equivalent,
less?
Is it the equivalent of 8 glasses of water?
And how big is a glass?
Well, yeah. But is it the equivalent of 8 glasses of water, or is it you have to drink it? Because as in you get water from things like lettuce, or you get water through food as well.
Interesting question. I'll leave that open.
Okay.
Because Jordan's got to make it up, because that's the one that you made up.
I think you made it up. I think that's the one, because...
And you reckon that blood travels 60,000 miles a day?
No, I don't think
I reckon
that.
It does.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do.
You don't think that? But you just said you don't believe the glasses.
No, I don't. I think that that's a difficult one to say. Yes, I definitely believe it. But okay. I'm pretty sure that the first one is utter dross.
You're actually right. You are right. The common saying is that you have to drink between 5 and 8 glasses of water every day to survive.
Mm-hmm.
In actual fact, you have to drink 5 to 8 glasses of water equivalent per day, which is why I left that open, because that's exactly the right answer.
Yes.
The majority of water that you ingest comes from food, and even breathing brings some moisture inside you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does your skin absorb moisture? Just on a side note.
I'm not sure, to be honest. Although on an interesting side note as well, I read an interesting fact recently. It was saying, why do you think that people's skins wrinkle in the bath? Yeah. Do you know that?
Why?
Well, so me and my little brother were trying to work it out, and was the only explanation we could come up with was that it's like a sponge, and your skin soaks up the water, and in doing so, it becomes spongy. But actually, it's the opposite.
Because your fingers don't get fatter.
Yeah.
They get thinner.
It's an active response. It's an evolutionary active response from, like, millions of years ago when humans were living close to water, because the increased surface area improves your grip. And so for people who were trying to catch fish with their hands, or for people who were trying to walk across wet rocks, it would mean they were less likely to lose their grip.
Wow.
Yeah, interesting, eh?
It's pretty cool.
But I don't know why that came in. That wasn't part of question time.
Shabbos of the day. Okay, so this week's is my thoughts of the day, because myself and my business partner are talking about going to the dentist for general checkups and so on, and my business partner is very sceptical about dentists, and he's been faithful to his dentist for many years in London, and went recently, and his dentist was wearing a brand new, very expensive Rolex on his wrist.
Nice.
And this made him go, fuck this, I'm not giving this guy any more money, I'm going to go elsewhere. So he then decided to find another cheap place somewhere else, and went along the other day to visit the hygienist. And the hygienist looked at his teeth and said, you've got absolutely perfect teeth. He then came back to the office and said, yeah, they said I've got perfect teeth, but I'm pretty sure that I haven't got perfect teeth, and they're just waiting until I get rot, and then I have to pay loads of money so that they can buy themselves a Rolex.
Why is he so suspicious with dentists?
Well, because they do charge you a lot of money. Whenever you go, they find a problem.
Yeah.
And they're pretty sneaky as well. Like, I went to the dentist once, and I had like a tiny hole in one of my teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that, like, I could feel it, so I was like, I know I've got to get that done. And so he fixed that, and then he was like, look, I'd like to do an x-ray on you. And I was like, okay, that's fine. He didn't tell me it was going to cost anything.
Right.
He's like, I just want to do an x-ray and just check that, you know, you haven't got any other holes, or, you know, that everything else is fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, cool. So did that. And then he found out that, like, one of my wisdom teeth were coming through. So he's like, right, we're going to have to get that removed. And blah, blah. And
we're going,
like,
to have to.
Yeah. And I was like, right, okay. And so then I kind of left and blah, blah. And I got an email through, and the x-ray cost £90.
Really?
For him to just be like, I'd like to do one.
Yeah.
Like, you mean you just want to charge me tons of money,
yeah,
dick?
It's a pretty good industry to be in. I think, I imagine it to be like plastic surgery. Like, you never go to a plastic surgeon and they go, you don't need it.
No.
It's never going to happen.
True. Yeah, or it's similar to like going to a mechanic and them going, yeah, oh, that's going to cost you, you know, £5,000.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Well, you know,
do I have a say in this?
And you've already gone past the thing of investing the checkup amount of money, so you're not then going to go, well, wait a minute, I'm going to go and get a counter offer from someone else because, yeah, I'm going to invest money in them.
Well, maybe that's part of why they're so successful, because I read about this social experiment they did a few years ago, and what they effectively wanted to see if they could get away with was persuading people to put a big sign on their driveway that was visible from the road when people drove past. And they had two groups. With one group, they said straight away, can you put the sign up? And with the other group, they said at the start, can you put a sticker in your window on the front of your house, so it was almost invisible.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of people who said yes to the sticker was really, really high. And then they went back later on and said to the people who'd given, who'd said yes to the sticker, will you now put a sign up? And the number was way bigger than the people who'd said yes in the first place. And the theory is that if you ask for a small amount at the start, then when you ask for more, because the person feels like they're already committed, they feel that much more comfortable doing it.
Yeah.
And so maybe you're right in that if you're going to spend, I don't even know what it costs.
40 quid
for a checkup.
Yeah.
Then when they're like, oh, it's 90 quid for an x-ray, you're like, well, I've spent 40 quid. I might as well give you
Well, yeah, because you have to go and, otherwise you have to go somewhere else and pay another 40 quid.
Yeah.
And then you're straight away halfway to paying what you've got to pay for.
Exactly. Yeah. Whereas if you called the dentist and you said, oh, I need a checkup, I think, and they said, oh, you'll probably need an x-ray, it'll cost you 90 quid and it'll be 40 quid, you'll be like, nah, sod it, I'll wait.
Yeah. Well, this is it. A guy I share the office with has he's in his 50s and he 20 years ago had a painful tooth. He went to the dentist. The dentist said, yeah, it's decaying, you need to get that removed right now. And he said, well, look, I can't afford to get it removed now. He's never done anything about it and it's absolutely fine.
Really?
Yeah.
Although teeth are so important, they make such a big difference to how someone looks. Like if you've got bad teeth, then it can ruin an attractive face.
Yeah, it can. It can.
And also the thing is, I think the fear is, because I've heard this said before by a dentist, it's like, oh, you know, well, you know, I'd suggest you do it now because the last thing you want is in the middle of the day you bite into something and your tooth cracks, or all of a sudden you hit a nerve instantaneously.
Really?
And it's like, but the thing is as well, it's like, I think that, well, when I went on a few dates with this Australian girl once, and I was talking about getting my wisdom tooth removed, and I was freaking out about it. And she was like, "Why do all the British people hate their dentists?" She's like, "In Australia, it's just like it's like going to the doctor for a checkup." Or it's, and I think the British dental industry is just fucking all of us over,
really,
and being shit at their jobs and drilling your face open and charging you way too much money for
it. I've never had a problem with going to the dentist. I've never found it scary or never, like, I mean, I've had four teeth removed and it was a bit painful getting the needle stuck in your gum, but it wasn't the end of the world. I just don't go out of apathy. I've not been for years just because I haven't, like, it's hard to find a dentist, let alone actually get your arse in gear and go.
There's a lot of dental practices that you walk by and you go, someone's definitely died in there in the last week. Like, I mean, it just looks really dank. And like, yeah, I'm not a mad fan of it.
I'm not even sure what the process is for getting a dentist. You just call one up and be like, right, mate, can I come in?
I think you can walk into anywhere. It's not like the doctors where they're like, well, we need to refer from your last doctor to see.
My doctor's a genius because he basically makes it so you can't see him without giving him 2 weeks' notice, and everything gets better in 2 weeks. Everything. I've had like four appointments, and by the day I've called and gone, look, it's fine now. Yeah. It's not worth it.
But I think there's that kind of that thing where you kind of make yourself more ill, or like if a tooth's hurting, you make it. It feels because you're just thinking about
it. Tongue it the whole time.
Yeah, you're like, that hot. I feel like I've got a meter wide gap in one of my teeth.
Yeah, you actually did have a meter wide gap in your tooth, you sick puppy.
But yeah, I'm not a mad fan.
No, hate dentists.
I think
look forward to going to them. I've had a bit of work done on teeth through smashing my teeth out in the past and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole process, yes, you've got the needle going into the gum, mm-hmm. which makes your mouth numb, but then they've done things like grazed away at my tooth to then put back on it. Oh. But I'm talking, it feels like they've got a fucking chisel in there. And you can feel it. Oh. And they say, just let me know if you can feel anything. And straight away, you're like, I can fucking feel something. You can, honestly, I can. It felt like someone was just sawing away at my tooth.
Oh, and my
that's the thing. Like, the thing is,
you pay for it. You fucking pay for it. You should be paying for it. It's torture.
But this is the thing: is that I think the worst thing about it is like your teeth, like the vibrations of it. Like they developed a few years ago, like a walkie-talkie system that was actually a cap on your tooth.
Right.
And like you just put it on and took it out whenever you were doing it. It wasn't like a, you know, it wasn't something that was surgically input into your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And what it was done was all the vibrations, so that it would send the vibration up so you could hear it.
Right.
So when someone's drilling in your face,
uh-huh.
you can hear it perfectly. And that's the thing that freaks me out the most. Like,
right.
But actually, after I got my wisdom teeth removed, I was actually kind of a little bit more kind of comfortable with it. Because they were like, it could take anywhere up to half an hour to get one of these teeth out. And I was like, that's messed up. I don't want to do that. I went in, and my mum had dropped me off at the hospital and was like, I'll come back in like an hour or so. That's when you'll be ready.
Uh-huh.
She hadn't even, like, I got in to the thing. I think she got about a mile away from the hospital and I was phoning her, being like, yeah, I'm out.
Really?
Literally, they just went, just yanked it out.
That's good.
No, not, well, they injected it first and then literally just
What do they do with the hole in your gum?
They like sew it up, I guess. I mean, it did feel like there was a massive great crater in my face, and then suddenly your gum builds back up.
Yeah, I had it. I had my first molar taken out on both sides, top and bottom, because I had a crowded mouth, apparently.
It was weird. Your teeth were going to buckle at some point.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I wish we'd waited for that. That would have been fun.
Like a deranged chipmunk on crack.
Exactly. So that was episode 7 of season 3 of the Fancy Sauce Show. Thank you very much for listening. If you want to ask us any questions or talk about your dental experiences, get us on Twitter.
Yeah, or if you're a dentist and you've just bought a new Rolex and you want to show off,
that would be amazing. That would be amazing.
That would be great. If
some dentist in his Ferrari with his Rolex is like, ding!
Instagram the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think get involved in Twitter, just at Fancy Sauce Show. Have a look at the website, fancysauceshow.com, and our Facebook's facebook.com/fancysauceshow.
Indeed.
We've kind of got a bit static on the Fancy Sauce Show Facebook page. It's just kind of...
Yeah.
It's just kind of sitting there, not really doing much.
Yeah, to be fair, we've been very busy the past month or two, so we've been a bit lax, but we'll get back on it.
We'll get back on it and expect some funny tweets.
All right.
Ciao for now.
Bye-bye.
See you later.